Hey everyone, welcome to Immigration on the Canadian Prairies, a podcast that will delve into what it's like to not only immigrate to one of our prairie provinces, but we will also explore what it means to work, live, and study in Western Canada. We will profile various communities, discover post-secondary education options, report on jobs that are high in demand, and of course, chat about what you need to know for living life on the prairies. If this sounds like something that sparks your interest, then stick around. I am your host, Lindsay Rubinek, and you are listening to Immigration on the Canadian Prairies podcast. Hey, everybody, welcome back. I hope you're having a wonderful day and you are listening to Immigration on the Canadian Prairies podcast, where we look at all the fun stuff that there is to do with immigration, from programs to being an international student. And today we're going to look at something that's going to really help our skilled workers. It's more of an education lesson, let's say. And I thought that I would focus on this today because I've had so many inquiries in the last month on people asking me to help them find a job. And full disclosure, I am not a recruiter, and you actually have to be licensed in Canada to recruit people overseas. So I unfortunately cannot help people find a job. But what I do know is lots about a labor market impact assessment. And this is an application that employers go through here in Canada. And this application, if approved, allows them to hire foreign workers. So instead of me today talking about all the jobs that are available in Canada, because we know there's lots, I just kind of want to educate the foreign skilled worker on the process of an LMIA, labor market impact assessment, and how that works and what a Canadian employer actually has to go through to get it. And then as well as what the foreign worker also has to do on their end once an LMIA is approved. All right. So as I said, I think it is extremely important that if you are a skilled worker looking for a job in Canada, that you need to understand what a labor market impact assessment is and how they work. And I think once you hear this episode, it's going to put into perspective why these LMIAs are not readily available, and you will see the amount of time and money that is put into this type of process. As well, I also got something for you, and it's going to be a way on how you can actually find all the current approved LMIAs that are out here in Canada. So stick around to the end, and I'm going to give you some guidance on how to get to that website. All right, so let's begin. Now, as I said, most employers need an LMIA before they can hire a temporary foreign worker. And again, some employers do not if there are certain agreements that they have. So we have like the Canadian United States Mexican agreement, where there can be an LMIA waived in, you know, CUSMA professionals. We can look at the International Exchange Canada program, where employers can hire skilled workers overseas through that and not have to do an LMIA. But for the majority of the time, if there's no agreements in place, then an employer in Canada usually does have to do a labor market impact assessment. And what an LMIA really does is it confirms that there is a need for a temporary foreign worker and that no Canadians or permanent residents are available to do the job. And to get even more specific, there's actually 8 main streams that an employer can apply through. And it's really important to select the correct type of LMIA because it will determine the requirements that they must meet, including their eligibility, their job advertisement, and which application forms, again, that they need to process. So let's just quickly review the 8 LMIA streams, because as a skilled worker, you can say, hey, you know what? I think I could really make it in that stream. And it kind of creates better awareness of the streams that are out there and what you may or may not be qualified for. So there are 8 streams, as I just said. And the low wage LMIA stream is basically if the salary offered to a foreign worker is below a provincial or territorial medium wage. A high wage LMIA is the opposite. It's the wage offered to a temporary worker that is higher than a provincial or territorial medium wage. There's also LMIAs for agricultural workers, and that includes the straight agricultural worker as well as the seasonal agricultural worker LMIA. And there's also an LMIA to support permanent residency applications. There's also a dual intent LMIA, and this one actually has 2 purposes. It's to support permanent residency and a work permit application. And there's also the global talent stream, which a lot of our larger cities really take advantage of. And as well as the eighth and last one, there's the LMIA for the in-home caregivers. And again, the wage offered to a foreign worker will determine what stream that they need to apply for. So for instance, in Manitoba, so let's say if the medium wage, I'm just pulling this off my head, just give me an example, if the provincial medium wage is, $20 an hour, and if the Canadian employer offers $22.50 an hour to a temporary foreign worker, then the correct application that they would apply for is the high stream wage. All right, so let's say that the stream has been determined along with the wage. The employer then has to start the actual process. As mentioned previously, each stream has its own set of requirements, but all LMIAs basically have advertising requirements, which include mandated information that needs to be within each of those advertisements. Further, each has a standard of where they should advertise, and all must advertise on the Job Bank of Canada. So let's give you another example, all right? So if you are putting forward a low-wage LMIA, the advertisement must be placed where Indigenous people of Canada look for jobs, as well as youth who are at risk or looking for jobs, vulnerable peoples of Canada, as well as newcomers to Canada. We must be advertising those jobs on various platforms, and there must be at least 3 different platforms where the employer advertises. If one of these platforms is missed, the LMIA will be returned to the employer with no questions asked, and the fee, which I'm about to get to, will not be returned. So let's get on to that. Now, for each position applied for in an LMIA, it actually costs the employer $1,000 per position. Whether the LMIA is approved or not, the fee is kept by the Government of Canada. So it's pretty risky, right? If someone needs 3 customer service reps, they would need to pay the Government of Canada during the application process $3,000 because they are actually applying for 3 positions. And again, this is quite a bit of money. However, the agricultural LMIA is the only LMIA that actually does not have to pay the application fee, and they actually only have to advertise 14 days, whereas the majority of the other labor market impact assessments, they actually have a requirement where the job must be advertised for 28 days straight before an application can be submitted to Employment Services Development Canada for their review. And again, another example. In all low-wage LMIAs, employers are responsible for the transportation costs to and from Canada, and they must pay for the majority of the accommodations for this temporary foreign worker. And be it with low-wage or any type of LMIA, none of these costs can be collected from the foreign worker at any time before, during, or after the contract is completed. So if an employer says, hey, you owe me $1,000 for the application fee that I applied for to get your job, that's actually illegal for the employer to do. Just a note for you to know. Once the advertisements are running, the employer, depending on whether it's high or low skilled or what the LMIA is, they are actually requested to ensure that every permanent resident or Canadian who showed interest on the Job Bank of Canada that applied is asked to apply. So if there is a 2-star beside a low-wage skilled LMIA, and that person who has those qualifications and it shows through on the Job Bank of Canada, if they actually have 2 stars beside their name, the employer has to ask that Canadian or permanent resident to apply for the position. If it was a high-skilled wage LMIA, then the person on the job bank who indicated interest, if they had 4 stars beside their name, then the employer would need to reach out and invite that person to apply. In addition to this, the employer is obligated to keep track of every permanent resident and Canadian that applies and explain why they did not meet the job requirements or were not given an interview or even the job offer itself. Because remember, the goal of the LMIA is to prove to the Government of Canada that there were no permanent residents or Canadians able to fill that job at the time of advertising. All right. I know this is a lot, but stick with me, my friend, because there is more that you need to know. However, the more you know, the better off you are, and understand what exactly an LMIA is and how hard they are to come by. And once you learn this, you'll actually probably be farther ahead than a lot of other people. Okay. So during the advertising phase, this would be when the employer and or their consultant would work on the LMI application itself and collect the documents that are accompanied with the proof of advertising. As well, if the employer has already identified a temporary foreign worker that meets the job requirements, such as they've shown that they have the work experience, education, and so on, they could actually send in the foreign skilled worker's name with their resume and other credentials to ESDC. So if the LMIA is approved, the approval would come with the foreign worker's name actually already on the approval. And this is called a named LMIA. And there are certain LMIAs that an unnamed LMIA can be submitted, such as low-skilled, agricultural, high-skilled. So what that means is if the employer has not found anyone that they feel meets the requirements they put forward, they can go ahead and submit an unnamed LMIA to Employment Services Development Canada and get an approval. However, they would not actually have a name on the LMIA. And during their advertisement, further advertising, they would actually say unnamed LMIA. And if they found someone, then they could send that back into ESDC. ESDC would look at the person, they'd put their name on the approval, and the process would go forward. Now, approval can take extremely long time and can be months or it could be quicker time than that. However, I am in the process of doing the LMIA for an employer and we actually submitted the application with all the supporting documents and it has been over 90 days since we have actually heard anything. And when I look online, ESDC says it's supposed to take only 30 days. However, this is not the case. And there's really no recourse for when an employer applies to the process. As I phoned on behalf of my employer and they said there was nothing they can do and that the application is still in queue. So that's another risk the employer takes is that even though ESDC says it's only supposed to take 30 days, we're actually sitting at 90 days waiting for our application to get reviewed. All right, now let's move on to the second phase. Yes, you bet. Having the LMIA approved is only half of the process. So what's the second part, right? Well, the second part is where the foreign skilled worker, such as yourself, takes the lead. And they are both equally important, these steps, and require a lot of attention to detail. So as I mentioned, if your name is already on the positive or approved LMIA, you would then submit the positive LMIA along with the immigration forms and supporting documents required for a restricted work permit. Having a positive LMIA with your name on it alone is not sufficient for you to show up to Canada and work. Immigration, Refugee, and Citizenship Canada determines if you can live and work in Canada. So I should note that I keep talking about Employment Services Development Canada. So they oversee the actual labor market impact assessment and they approve it. And then the second part is you applying for a work permit. And that means that Immigration, Refugee, and Citizenship Canada actually oversees that part. So there's two government departments that oversee this entire process. And again, it will take time. Okay, so I digress. So for step two, you need to submit a restricted work permit application, as I said, and a restricted work application is where you are applying to work for that one employer in a specific occupation, usually at a certain location for a particular amount of time. You must submit all the credentials that demonstrates you meet every one or a good majority of the jobs ad that it has requested. So you can't just not meet any of the job ads requests. So if the job ad says you must have 2 years work experience doing this, you must have 2 years or more work experience doing it. Or why wouldn't we just hire a Canadian or permanent resident? If you only said you had 18 months and there's a PR or a Canadian that actually has 18 months, then why wouldn't we hire that person over a foreign worker, right? So you must make sure that when you are applying for an LMIA job ad that you meet or exceed everything that it says. And then if you are actually hired and it is an unnamed LMIA, it's really simple. You just, the employer puts your name on a request sheet. They email it into Employment Canada. They put your name on the LMIA. And then you actually take this positive LMIA and you also put it in your work permit application to IRCC. All right. So these fees, when you go to submit your work permit, would be for your work permit application, biometrics, police and medical checks, and anything else, do not have to be covered by the employer, and they actually could be covered by you. So although the employer usually has to pay all the LMIA fees, and if it's low skilled transportation, so on and so forth, the work permit part can actually be paid by you. So it's not illegal for the employer to ask you to pay for these costs out of pocket. Also, when you're applying for your restricted work permit, make sure that you have your education assessed. And if possible, I would also say you put in a language test that's not more than 2 years old and any other documents that show you are a great candidate for the position that's currently open. Now, in terms of time, because they also get asked this a lot, you would need to refer to Immigration, Refugee and Citizenship Canada website to see how long it's taking for a work permit to be processed in our country at this time. Now, once you have the approval of the work permit, you can then proceed to your job in Canada. I know, what a process, right? But you need to know that a labor market impact assessment, getting a positive decision, is the first step. And then you applying for a restricted work permit is the second step. And both involve a lot of forms and documents. So we need to make sure that everything is together to get it right the first time. Again, I want to remind you that under no circumstances should you be paying a recruiter to find you a job that has an LMIA attached to it. If your LMIA, again, is low wage, then you are not going to have to pay for any transportation fees, and your accommodation should be adequate and mostly be paid for by your employer. For all LMIAs, the employer can never ask a worker to pay them back for any of the advertisement costs, the application fees, or anything associated to the approval and policy set out by the labor market impact assessment in which they were approved for. I know I keep on saying this, but I find time and time again, or I've heard stories of foreign workers being asked to pay back their employer. So I'm really trying to stress this is not right and not correct. If you have actually paid your employer for any of this, you will not actually get into trouble. But however, your employer themselves would face future compliance issues, making them basically ineligible to apply for any future foreign workers, right? So because you don't know, but your employer is to read the rules and regulations booklet before they apply. And it's pretty much spelled out for them when they get their letter, what they're responsible for and what they are not. All right. Lastly, before I go, I know I promised you something at the very beginning of this episode, and I want to leave you with something lots of people do not even know about when they're looking for a job here in Canada that is approved for LMIAs. And that's actually a specific link that I'm going to put in my show notes. So when you hit on this link, you can view these jobs as well as you can see what type of jobs employers are actually applying for. This will allow you great insight into what you may need to improve upon, such as language or increasing your education to become more competitive in the job search here in Canada. Well, I hope the information I have shared with you today, I know is a lot. I really, though, hope it provides you with better insight into exactly what a labor market impact assessment is, what the process is about, what it takes to make this all possible, and what you, as a temporary foreign worker, is responsible for. Well, that's a wrap, my friends. Short and sweet as always. I appreciate you taking the time to learn more about the Canadian Prairies and information that could be important to you on your immigration journey. I will leave some links in the show notes for you that relate to this podcast. Also, do not forget to download your Canadian Immigration Goal Worksheet at 100thMeridianImmigration.ca/goal. Or if you're an international student, we got a do-it-yourself guide also available on our website at 100thMeridianImmigration.ca. Both are great resources to help you work towards your dream of immigrating to Canada. If you're interested in learning more about this topic in this episode, would like to receive more information about life on the prairies, or further immigration career tips, then connect with this Canadian Prairie Girl, immigration at 100thMeridian.ca. Until next time, my friends, live rural, live well.
And the road still winds through this prairie sunrise. Got mountains to my left, and wheat fields to my right. And I will roam these dusty country roads, been searching all this time, and I think I'm almost home. Just live and be glad.